The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus, but the Pharisees and scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So to them, he addressed these parables. What man among you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, would not leave the 99 in the desert and go after the lost one until he finds it? And when he does find it, he sets it on his shoulders with great joy. And upon his arrival home, he calls together his friends and neighbors and says to them, "Rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep." I tell you, in just the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous people who have no need of repentance. Or what woman, having 10 coins and loses one, would not light a lamp and sweep the house, searching carefully until she finds it? And when she does find it, she calls together her friends and neighbors and says to them, "Rejoice with me, because I have found the coin that I lost." In just the same way, I tell you, there will be rejoicing among the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And then he said, "A man had two sons. The younger said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of your estate that should come to me.' So the father divided the property between them. Within a few days, the younger son collected all his belongings and set off for a distant country, where he squandered his inheritance on a life of dissipation. And when he had freely spent everything, a severe famine struck that country, and he found himself in dire need. So he hired himself out to one of the local citizens, who sent him to his farm to tend the swine. And he longed to eat his fill of the pods on which the swine fed, but nobody gave him any. Coming to his senses, he thought, 'How many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food to eat? But I am here dying from hunger. I shall get up and go to my father, and I shall say to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve for you to call me son. Treat me as if you would treat one of your hired workers." So he got up and went back to see his father. While he was still long off, the father caught sight of him, and filled with compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son." But his father ordered his servants, "Quickly, bring the finest robe and put it on him. Put the ring on his finger and the sandals on his feet. Take the fatted calf and slaughter it. Then let us celebrate with a feast, because this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and he has been found." Then the celebration began, and now the older son had been out in the field, and on his way back, as he neared the house, he heard the sound of the music and the dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what this might mean, and the servant said to him, "Your brother has returned, and your father has slaughtered the fatted calf, because he has him back safe and sound." He became angry. And when he refused to enter the house, his father came out and pleaded with him. He said to his father in reply, "Look, all these years I have served you, and not once did I disobey your orders. Yet you never gave me a young goat to feast with my friends. But when your son returns, who swallowed up your property with prostitutes, from him you slaughter the fatted calf." He said to him, "My son, you are here with me always. Everything I have is yours. But now we must celebrate and rejoice, because your brother was dead and had come to life again. He was lost, but has been found." The Gospel of the Lord. God is good. All the time. So the readings this Sunday proclaim the power and depth of God's mercy and forgiveness. I guess we could almost call it Mercy and Forgiveness Sunday. Look at the first reading, where Moses actually bargained with God, similar to the way Abraham did, and had God not destroy all those Israelites that were honoring the fatted calf instead of God. And in the second reading, Paul confesses his sins and talks about how God's mercy and forgiveness made him a disciple. In chapter 15 of Luke's gospel, he tells us three parables all about mercy and forgiveness, but in reality, they're about losing and finding and rejoicing. The outcasts of society, the taxpayers, the sinners approach Jesus eagerly in Luke's gospel. And hearing the Son, and hearing is the sign of conversion. The Pharisees and scribes, still suspicious of Jesus, complain about him associating with sinners. So that's why he tells these three parables. Jesus is teaching and behaving, it seems, to some of them, especially among the Pharisees, challenged God himself. And that was not Jesus' purpose. But Jesus was actually right, because he himself, in heart, was a Pharisee. Now, why do I say that? Well, Pharisees were heroic defenders of the faith. They fought against those who sought to destroy it. They believed deeply in sacred scriptures, the Bible, the Torah, and the law of Moses. And so did Jesus. That's who he was. In the first story of the lost sheep, the shepherd leaves the 99 in search of the one lost sheep. When he finds it, the shepherd rejoices. But not alone, like in Matthew's gospel. He calls his friends and neighbors to rejoice with him, because rejoicing is important in redemption. God rejoices over one sinner who repents, like the outcasts who have come to hear Jesus, rather than the 99 Pharisees who just sit and listen. Now, this is why Jesus tells this story, because the parable really of the good shepherd is one who leaves the 99 sheep in the safe place and goes for the one that was lost. What does it mean when Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd"? Well, it means a lot. As he would say, "I know you from conception, from your birth. I love you. And you are mine. I love to be with you, to walk the streets with you, to teach with you, to teach you to love one another, how to forgive and care for each other, as my Father cares for you every day." And Jesus, the heart of the law, was to be found in God the Father's love, compassion, and forgiveness. Not just for the Christ, for the children of Abraham, but also to be shared with all humanity. One day, they would ultimately change the world, and indeed it has. And what is Jesus saying to us? Well, Jesus says, as we well know, amen, amen, I say to you, the angels in heaven rejoice more over one sinner who returns home than the 99 who never left. In the second story, we hear about a poor woman, apparently a widow, who has to search for a lost coin and won't stop doing so. The Pharisees were complaining about this. They too should rejoice when the lost is found. But somehow they lost the point. She searches and she prays because the presence of God is in her always, through every part of her life. And in every difficulty, she remembers the prayer, "Seek with tears, but seek with hope, and you'll find his presence draw even closer." Now we may ask, how important was this coin to the widow? Well, this coin in those days may have represented as much as a week's worth of work. And it was very important to her because she was a widow. She had no husband. She had no children. And for her, every coin counted. And she went on until, seeked high and low until she found it. But what did she do when she found it? She just didn't put it away quietly. Instead, she ran up and down the streets, telling her friends and her neighbors that she found the lost coin, and to come and to rejoice with her over that which was lost. Were they rejoicing over that chunk of money, that coin? No, that's not why they gathered to rejoice. They gathered to rejoice to celebrate God's presence because they recognized that God is the center of everything. He is the center of our being. The lady who knows her heart that God is with her, this is a woman of faith. Finally, we come to probably the most memorable parable in the gospel, the story of the prodigal son. And just as the lost sheep and the lost coin, this story found only in Luke, is really more about the seeker than anything else. Even though the son runs off with the father's inheritance and squanders the money, the father waits for him, hoping for his return. Upon his son's return, full of compassion, he runs out to embrace him and forgive him for what he had done. And before he can utter a word of repentance, at that point, the rejoicing begins. But the parable does not end there. Rather, it makes one more point about the older son, the son who never left. Just like the Pharisees and scribes who feel they were righteous and refused to enter his father's house to join in the rejoicing. He has served his father well and obeyed him, and perhaps it was not out of love. The father's response teaches us that God cares and compassion extends to the righteous and the sinner alike. When we are lost, God does not await our return. He actively seeks us out. And when the lost are found, how could we not celebrate and rejoice? Let's make one thing perfectly clear. The celebration of the prodigal son returned with only lasted about a week, which is normal in their time, a week or so. What happened after that week was up? The prodigal son went to work. He went to work at his father's service. He went to work as one of his servants, not as his son. The son has lost everything, and he's still the son, but he's not an heir anymore. And that's proof by the father telling the other son, everything I have is yours. So even though he was brought back into the home, he was still a servant and knew his place. The elder son wasn't concerned about the question of inheritance. He was angry because he never had a party thrown for him. This parable comes close to home when a lot of people have those kinds of sibling rivalries in their households and in their hearts. But that's still not the point. This parable is more than a parable of the work, is more like the parable of the workers in the vineyard, because it speaks more of what's fair. And the elder brother's clearly resentment of his long-standing ties to his father against his brother. Look what he's done. How could you reward him? Were his words to his father. But it's very important to note that the father does not deny what his son has done. He does not deny or defend his son for what he has done. Nobody is saying he didn't do anything wrong, because they know he did. But what is the point of the celebration? The father doesn't love the elder son any less than the other. And the son doesn't get any more love from the father than the elder son does. He treats them equally. The son thinks he's entitled to be a favorite and earned it. But Jesus, in this parable, makes it clear that is not the case. In fact, all are equal under God. All these parables speak of new beginnings. The lost lamb is now found and continues to be with the flock. The woman with the lost coin can now have peace of mind that she can meet her expenses. And so too, the prodigal son starts a new life, but on new terms. His return is still worth celebrating, as all these events are. This is the goal of the ministry of reconciliation. The first two parables in the story of the gospel, of the coin and the lost sheep, are less problematic. They involve no conflicting relationships, but the third one, the elder son, turned the story around and made it about himself, and that he couldn't get beyond that. All three parables make the same point. This is more joy over one repentant sinner than that is why Jesus has come here. One repentant sinner. So maybe that could be about us too. Remember redemption and what it means. Spiritual awakening and spiritual growth remind us that no matter where someone has been, how difficult the path that they grow, and how changed they could be, they could be happier and healthier and kinder people. There is no depth of darkness to which people can sink, from which they cannot arise again. And this is the good news. It is the nature of the divine to never reject any one of us. And ultimately, we are all in this together. God is good.
All the time.
All the time.